Christina Rossetti, 1830 to 1894. Goblin Market. Morning and evening, maids heard the goblins cry, "Come buy our orchard fruits, come buy, come buy, apples and quinces, lemons and oranges, plump unpicked cherries, melons and raspberries, bloom-down-cheeked peaches, swart-headed mulberries, wild free-born cranberries, crab-apples, dewberries, pineapples, blackberries, apricots, strawberries, all ripe together, in summer weather, morns that pass by, fair eves that fly, come buy, come buy, our grapes fresh from the vine, pomegranates full and fine, dates and sharp bullaces, rare pears and greengages, damsons and bilberries, taste them and try, currants and gooseberries, bright fire like barberries, figs to fill your mouth, citrons from the south, sweet to tongue and sound to eye, come buy, come buy." Evening by evening, among the brookside rushes, Laura bowed her head to hear, Lizzie veiled her blushes. Crouching close together in the cooling weather, with clasping arms and cautioning lips, with tingling cheeks and fingertips, "Lie close," Laura said, pricking up her golden head. "We must not look at goblin men. We must not buy their fruits. Who knows upon what soil they fed their hungry, thirsty roots?" "Come by," called the goblins, hobbling down the glen. "Oh," cried Lizzie, "Laura, Laura, you should not peep at goblin men." Lizzie covered up her eyes, covered close lest they should look. Laura reared her glossy head and whispered like the restless brook, "Look, Lizzie, look, Lizzie, down the glen tramp little men. One hauls a basket, one bears a plate, one lugs a golden dish of many pounds weight. How fair the vine must grow, whose grapes are so luscious, how warm the wind must blow through those fruit bushes." "No," said Lizzie, "no, no, no. Their offers should not charm us, their evil gifts would harm us." She thrust a dimpled finger in each ear, shut eyes and ran. Curious Laura chose to linger, wondering at each merchant man. One had a cat's face, one whisked a tail, one tramped at a rat's pace, one crawled like a snail, one like a wombat prowled obtuse and furry, one like a rattle tumbled hurry-scurry. She heard a voice, like voice of doves, cooing all together. They sounded kind and full of loves in the pleasant weather. Laura stretched her gleaming neck like a rush-embedded swan, like a lily from the beck, like a moonlit poplar branch, like a vessel at the launch when its last restraint is gone. Backwards up the mossy glen turned and trooped the goblin men with their shrill repeated cry, "Come by, come by." When they reached where Laura was, they stood stock still upon the moss, leering at each other, brother with queer brother, signalling each other, brother with sly brother. One set his basket down, one reared his plate, one began to weave a crown of tendrils, leaves and rough nuts brown. Men sell not such in any town. One heaved the golden weight of dish and fruit to offer her, "Come by, come by," was still their cry. Laura stared, but did not stir, longed, but had no money. The whisk-tailed merchant bade her taste in tones as smooth as honey. The cat-faced purred, the rat-paced spoke a word of welcome, and the snail-paced even was heard. One parrot-voiced and jolly cried, "Pretty goblin, still for pretty Polly." One whistled like a bird. But sweet-tooth Laura spoke in haste, "Good folk, I have no coin. To take were to purloin. I have no copper in my purse, I have no silver either, and all my gold is on the furze that shakes in windy weather above the rusty heather."
"You have much gold upon your head," they answered all together. "Buy from us with a golden curl."
She clipped a precious golden lock, she dropped a tear more rare than pearl, then sucked their fruit globes, fair or red, sweeter than honey from the rock, stronger than man rejoicing.